Welcome back to Between the Lines. We hope you enjoyed that break, because we're diving back into the depths of Scripture with more enlightening discussions. Join us now as we continue our journey.
I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar, the shita tree, and the myrtle, and the oil tree. I will set in the desert the fir tree and the pine and the box tree together. God always, you would, to the untrained ear, the untrained eye that reads the Bible, the uninformed, you would think God is really into forestry. he's apparently into recyclable products, and he's plants a lot of trees. These are people.
I mean, he started off everything in a garden.
Yes, so. Yeah, he did. Yeah. But these cedars, and the greater the tree, the greater stature, the greater use of the wood is. It compares to men of great stature, of wealth, of knowledge. I mean, if you can dissect these trees, go to exactly what they are, the definition of them, and understand. You know, the myrtle and the oil tree is your more religious and more God-following. I mean, he's talking about he's going to reestablish this kingdom from the greatest man down to the lowest priest. Yes. That they may see and know and consider and understand together that the land of the Lord hath done this, the hand of the Lord hath done this, and the Holy One of Israel hath created it. Produce your cause, saith the Lord. Bring forth your strong reasons, saith the King of Jacob. Let them bring them forth and show us what shall happen. Let them show the former things. And that it's just tiny little things. I mean, they pop out. King of Jacob, capital K. And what did he call Jacob? Jacob was his servant. Mm-hmm. Not the chosen and not the friend. King. He wouldn't say King of Abraham. He wouldn't say King of Isaac, because he called Jacob the servant. Let them show the former things what they be, that we may consider them and know the latter end of them, to declare us things for to come. Telling your future here, Israel, it will all get better one day. Show the things that are to come hereafter. We may know that ye are gods, little g. Show the things that are to come hereafter, that we may know that ye are gods. Yea, do good or do evil, that we may be dismayed and behold it together. Behold, ye are of nothing, and your work is of naught, an abomination, he that chooseth you. You are not gods. Back to telling them they're minuscule. But and you know, during the when Christ came, the Sanhedrin and the chief priests had God status among the people. They would walk out into the town square and the waters would part, speaking of people. They liked it that way. When they would speak, the crowd would quiet down. They liked it that way. And Jesus came and told them they were shiny objects sitting on a fence post of no avail. Oh, that was contrary to what was in their mind. Their gods, as he just said, little g, puffed up, full of pride. Isaiah covered that in the last chapter. Pride leads to hell. Pride leads to your downfall. You'll be puffed up while you're here during this momentary period of time that you have to prove to God that you can put pride and self-worth behind you to get into his kingdom. Hezekiah, self-worth, love of life, and pride. I've raised up one from the north, and he shall come from the rising of the sun, shall he call upon my name. He shall come upon princes as upon mortar, and as the potter treadeth clay, who hath declared from the beginning that we may know, and before time that we may say, he is righteous, yea, there is none that sheweth, yea, there is none that declareth, yea, there is none that heareth your words. The first shall say to Zion, behold, behold them, and I will give to Jerusalem one that bringeth good tidings. For I beheld, and there was no man, even among them, and there was no counselor that when I asked of them could answer a word. There's no knowledge of me left in you. Behold, they are all vanity. Their works are nothing. Their molten images are wind and confusion. And he ends the chapter with the same thing. This is how you are. Minuscule, have forgotten me, have no value to me. And that's what he told them. The only value you will have is to bring forth a pure Hebrew for my son to inhabit. But in the middle there, he says, joy of him who will come to put it all in order and to establish this great Jewish kingdom during the millennial period, but they just did not see the time scale there. They couldn't correlate. Chapter 42, Between the Lines with David and Jonathan on WVFF 97.7. Please go and catch up with us on WVFFradio.com. I dare you to listen to episode 1. You'll either be hooked or you'll bring pitchforks and torches to the studio and I'll have Jonathan answer the door.
Yes.
Yes. Well, I'm going out the back.
Just kidding. And I'll call myself McGill.
Yes, it is. Dave, he's going out the other end. You hurry, you could probably catch him. Chapter 42. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. Who is he talking about here, Jonathan?
Mm-hmm. The Christ.
A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. I love the part, the very first sentence in this chapter. Mm-hmm. Behold my servant, saith God, about the Prince of Heaven, his son. Did you not understand, children, your servants to your father and your mother? Well, Christ was a servant of God the first time he comes. When he returns, he'll be the right arm power of God, the destroyer who will come and set things right. And it's right here. I mean, the Jews could read this. Behold my servant. Mm-hmm. And look how gentle again it is. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A very quiet ministry he had. No bullhorns, no causing riots. A bruised reed shall he not break. The smoking flax shall he not quench. He's not going to change anything about society while he's here. He's going to come and bring the pure word of God and reestablish the first covenant, which was not the Ten Commandments. The everlasting covenant given to Abraham, follow me with all your heart and be circumcised. Well, Christ says, follow me with all your heart and be baptized. It's even better. None of that cutting stuff.
Yeah.
He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. He shall not fail, and he did not fail. Mm-hmm. In the garden, when he knelt and prayed, if there's any way this cup can pass from me, but thy will be done, Father. He knew. He shall not cry. He didn't even have license to cry during the pain. How many men could have taken that and not shed a tear? God choreographed it, told him exactly what he was going to do. And the first line there says, behold my servant, and he will do it just like this. And guess what? He did it just like this. And if the Pharisees were not reading that, shortly after his crucifixion. I guarantee you they were. Because they'd already read this. They knew it.
Yeah, pretty sure when the sky turned black and the earth started shaking and stuff like that, that was probably wait a minute.
Yes. They think, what have we done?
Uh-huh.
But how can we mitigate this? It's okay. You know? Convince their own selves, their carnal minds, which did not want to believe because their spirit men were not in control. It's why the law was laid on the Jewish people. They refused to follow God with their hearts. And it says in here over and over and over again, follow God with your heart, all of your heart, and the law does not apply to you. That's why Christ was able to work on the Sabbath.
The law of grace.
Yes, that followed God, the original covenant given to Abraham. He says an everlasting covenant. It wasn't replaced by the law. The law was put there for the weak-spirited people who could not follow the everlasting covenant that Christ just resurrected. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, for the light of the Gentiles. Interesting. He even knew ahead of time the Jews would not accept him. Going to open the door to the Gentiles, which it was in the beginning anyway. We've seen Gentiles coming in knowing God already, but it was not publicized like that. That's the God of the Jews. But those whose spirits seeked after something more than earthly gods were finding him all over the place because he was never, never a God of only the Jews. But here, he's publicizing it now. Before, you could find him on your own. Your heart searched for a higher meaning to all this chaos in this life. You would find him. You think Abraham found him? Just a quiet conversation one day. And there are countless examples in this Old Testament of outsiders knowing the God of the Jews and having a relationship with him, talking to him, prophesying for him, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. He's still listing here what Christ is going to do, and that's what Christ did during his 3 days in hell. He preached to the nation of Israel, the countless millions that were already there in paradise, separated from God. It was an okay place, you know. Had a few parks and a ball stadium. Had some things to do, but separation from God is devastating to the spirit that was in the presence of God at one time. Just something missing. You know that loneliness you have in the evenings when all the other people are gone? That's what it must feel like. And Christ preached to the nation of Israel in paradise during his time in the tomb. And they recognized him as the Messiah, the true King of Israel, the one who was to come. That's when he took David's seat, David's throne. He has the title now, the diadem in his hand, and he will come back within it in his hand and reestablish the throne here on this earth. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will not be given to another, neither my praise to graven images. That commandment God does not deal with very well at all. You know, as David showed us, you can write down the Ten Commandments and check them off one at a time, break almost all of them, except for the first one, and God will make a way for you. And David never put anything above God. He got out of control. He went right down the list, breaking most of them. And God later said he had a perfect heart because he never put anything above God. And he repented as soon as he got control of his mind again. And that's what it is, Christian. It is a battle between the spirit God said he placed in your heart and the carnal mind, which God says is contrary to the will of God, because the seed of the serpent resides in the mind. That's why you get all of them bad thoughts rushing through there. You must battle for control. And believe it or not, it starts at the dinner table. Feed this body more than it needs, and your spirit man will begin to go to sleep. It's like alcohol to the spirit. Feed him more alcohol than he needs. Yeah, he'll really go to sleep then. But it seems, and I've seen this over a lifetime, and I've seen it in so many people, feed this body more than it needs, food, and your spirit man will begin to snooze, and you will go down a path that you don't want to go down. Before it won't be just gluttony, and I'm not talking big, you know, you don't have to be 500 pounds. You pack on 20 extra pounds and see what it does spiritually to you. Less control, less ability to do the things that you want to do, the righteous things of God. Like Paul said, I find myself, the things that I love, I find myself not doing. The things that I hate, I find myself doing. I picture Paul, who was as much knowledgeable of the law as any man could be, probably carrying around an extra 25 pounds on his belly, you know? Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare before they spring forth. I tell you of them. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise from the end of the earth. Ye that go down to the sea, and all that is therein, the isles, and the inhabitants thereof. Let the wilderness and the cities thereof lift up their voice, the villages that Kedar doth inhabit. Let the inhabitants of the rock sing, let them shout from the top of the mountains. Let them give glory unto the Lord and declare his praise in the islands. The Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. He shall cry, yea, roar. He shall prevail against his enemies. Talking about Christ and his ministry here. And tell you what, the religious sect of the time were jealous. Why are these crowds going and listening to him? Is this not a carpenter from Nazareth? Anything good ever come from Nazareth, Jonathan?
That
question's actually asking here.
Uh-huh.
Anything good ever come out of a Nazareth?
Yeah.
I've adopted that. Does anything good ever come out of Canada?
Yeah, I hear you.
You know, it's like Nazareth. Well, there's no way anybody of any importance can come from Nazareth.
Right. It's the way they used to do the pole art jokes and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, even though the poles are some of the smartest people on the planet.
Yep.
But anyway.
Oh, yeah, well, you went into that, and I got to explain where that came from. Unfortunately, when the Nazi blitzkrieg came into Poland, the Polish army met it on horses. Yeah. Mm. What a sad day, huh?
Yeah.
Totally unprepared.
Yeah.
I think they were overrun in 3 days. Yeah. I have long time holding my peace. I have been still and refrained myself. Now will I cry like a travailing woman. I will destroy and devour at once. I will make waste mountains and hills and dry up all their herbs. I will make the rivers islands and I will dry up the pools. And I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they were not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them and not forsake them. I am going to destroy the evil in this world. Those are not blind people. Those are spiritually blind. I will bring the spiritually blind by a way that they knew not. I'm going to show them the way. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. The paths they were going down. This illicit spiritual immorality that they had, I'm going to correct. I will make darkness light before them in the midst of where they are right now. Whomever they are worshiping, whatever they are worshiping, I am going to bring the truth of my salvation to them. The crooked things straight, these things will I do unto them and not forsake them. And Christ done that. He came and showed the way. And it was not in this horrible law that was full of bondage. The freedom of Christ and his sacrifice. They shall be turned back. They shall be greatly ashamed that trust in graven images. That say to the molten images, ye are our gods. Hear ye deaf, and look ye blind, that ye may see. Who is blind but my servant? Or deaf as my messenger that I sent? Who is blind as he that is perfect? And blind as the Lord's servant? All men have gone astray. Seeing many things, but thou observest not, opening the ears, but he heareth not. The Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law and make it honorable. But this is a people robbed and spoiled. They are all of them snared in holes. They are hid in prison houses. They are for a prey and none delivereth, for a spoil and none saith, restore. Who among you will give ear to this? Who will hearken and hear for the time to come? Who gave Jacob for a spoil and Israel to the robbers? Did not the Lord? He against whom we have sinned, they would not walk in his ways, neither were they obedient unto his law. What did he say? He said the first covenant there, and then he said the second one. They would not walk in his ways. Follow me with all your heart. Yeah. And then, neither were they obedient unto the law. That was the punishment that God put on them because they wouldn't follow him with all their heart.
That's clearly pointing out two different things.
Yes. Therefore he hath poured upon him the fury of his anger and the strength of battle, and it hath set him on fire round about. Yet he knew it not, and it burned him, yet he laid it not too hard. He's basically saying there, I, God, am the one that has laid all these burdens on you. I'm the reason you went into captivity. I'm the reason you have no blessings today. I'm the reason your lives are miserable today, because you would not follow me. You would not follow me with all your heart. When I gave you the law, you would not even follow the law, which is things you can do with your hands. If God said to you, Jonathan, if you move this pencil to the center of the desk every morning, I'm going to forgive your sins.
Right.
Wouldn't you make an effort to move the pencil to the center of the table every day?
I certainly hope so.
Even though it was something, but after a while, I gotta go move the pencil again.
Yeah, I got this going on right now.
Yes, I want to be over there, yep. But I gotta go move the pencil, yep. You know? Follow me with all your heart is what God wanted them to realize. It's astronomical. And Christian, I tell you, on my closing here today, if you accept Jesus Christ and the salvation that he has given and the freedom that he has given, and you hold on to the law, you hold on to any portion of the law, the Bible says you're making his sacrifice of no avail. It doesn't matter to you. And you're telling Jesus Christ his sacrifice just wasn't up to your standards. And it just wasn't good enough to save you. Because God only saves the helpless. He doesn't save those who can help themselves. And apparently you can help yourselves by holding on to the law and telling Christ, I just wish you would have done it differently. All right, you've been with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, WVFF 97.7, and we'll catch you next time.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Between the Lines. We hope you've gained a deeper understanding of God's Word and strengthened your faith in Jesus. Tune in again for more spiritual discoveries, 3 p.m. daily with David and Jonathan, exclusively here on Veterans for Freedom Radio, the Truth in Broadcasting Corporation.